I'm sure you have the experience as well that the farther you go on with the Lord in your Christian life, you sense an increasing need of Him. And so when you were first a Christian and you may have sung this hymn, it was a blessing to you. But then as you grow older and go on with the Lord, we are so much the more conscious that we need Him every hour. Word of thanks today to the folks who went out on the outreach this afternoon. We're handing out our little Christmas tract called The Greatest Gift. And if you would like to pick up some of those, you can do so on the tables at the back when you leave. And please help yourself to as many as you need. And we pray that the Lord would take that word and multiply it and use it for His honor. And also mentioned this morning, but we have a booklet of the bulletin, the missionary bulletin from the Free Church in Northern Ireland, and it's got quite a few interesting articles there and tells us a lot about what's going on around the world. So I would encourage you to pick up one of those per family, if you would, and pass them around and enjoy seeing what the Lord is doing. We have two readings for you tonight. First of all, found in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, then we will be turning to Hosea chapter 10. A few months ago, we included these verses from Jeremiah 29 in our bulletin, and we were memorizing them as a congregation. And so I am sure that if you have been here for any time, you will have them refreshed in your memory. Reading from verse 10, Jeremiah 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Then please over to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea follows right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 10, reading just one verse, number 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we give thanks for every redeemed heart here, singing praises to Thy great name. And Lord, now as we are settled and still, the Scriptures open, Lord, open our hearts. Give me help and power to speak the Word with clarity and the authority of heaven. And dear Lord, I pray that each of us As we come face to face with these scriptures and these admonitions, that we will not turn off our hearing or close our hearts. Rather, O Lord, we would say earnestly, Father, what message have you for me tonight? I pray that we will receive mercy and blessing and holy instruction. Lord, grant to us thy mercies upon our fellowship. Come, Lord, and revive our hearts. Take away the things that would hinder our advance. And we pray that we will know that daily fellowship and communion which has been purchased by the living Savior for us. Hear our prayers now. In the Savior's name we ask, amen. It was on January the 3rd of this year that I brought to you the motto text taken from Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. You all received a magnet which I hope you affixed to your refrigerator or your filing cabinet someplace nearby where you could be reminded of that important text. It is time to seek the Lord. Following on from that admonition at that time, and as we have already commented from Jeremiah 29, further messages were brought that we might pursue the Lord, that we might seek Him earnestly with all our hearts. The background of the book of Hosea is actually not a very pleasant one in many ways. And I say that because though Hosea, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, he was the first of 12 minor prophets. He lived in a time when God's people had rejected the Word of God and the warnings that were given. And the many warnings that God had in mercy presented to Israel, though they had rebelled in idolatry, had turned away from their ear from the prophets, and they had persisted in their own direction, which was not the direction of God. And so the ministry that Hosea had to them was not a pleasant one, because his message involved speaking those judgments from God. And the judgments that he spoke was that which was coming to pass upon Israel because of their sin. And so he did not mince his words. His message was rather sharp. It was hard-hitting. It was deemed, I suppose, by many to be a negative message and a negative word, and all of which were not welcome at all by the people who he had to preach them to. So by the time we come to chapter 10, he is finalizing the message that God has given to him. And just when you would think, and perhaps the people in the day of Hosea would think, that there is absolutely no hope for them at all. Everything is all washed up and it's finished. They're done. Well, the Lord comes to them in verse 12, and he speaks these words, "So plant to yourselves in righteousness, and you will reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." And isn't it just like the Lord? Merciful. And in the midst of this storm, there was a peaceful moment of blessing and opportunity. And the Lord comes to us in that same way. And I think back myself As I bring you this message tonight, reviewing our motto text, I ask myself the question from that time, January, have I sought the Lord with all my heart? Has that admonition come to my soul? It is time to seek the Lord. I prayed that I would. I asked the Lord to intensify His work of grace in my heart. I prayed that He would build me up so that I would not remain where I was before, but that we would always be advancing, taking steps of progress in our walk with Christ. I mean, quite frankly, if we don't have that desire, if we're not seeing that type of advancement, well, then we are going in the opposite direction from the Lord. And so that prayer that we thought about then, some months ago, is a prayer that I believe we need to revisit, and an admonition we need to think about again. The Lord says to us and to His people, not just in the days of Hosea, but He says this word to His people in every single time. It's for every life. It's not just, my friend, for some members of a local church. It's not just for some congregation that you might perceive is going down the wrong road, involved in compromise or apostasy. No, absolutely not. There is admonition here for us for every stage, every step that we take, depending on where we are with the Lord. He has a message for us. And this one in verse 12 is very appropriate. Notice with me, please, first of all, it is time to seek the Lord. He says, by breaking up our fallow ground. Fallow ground happens when a field has been left unplanted. Fields are left unplanted so that the soil can be rejuvenated. However, a field that is left like this is very soon overgrown by weeds. And before it can be used again, because the soil that has been baked by the sun and has not been cultivated for a period of time, when those clods of earth are turned over, it is an opportunity for fresh seed to be planted. It is an opportunity for growth of the good fruit to happen once more, and not the weeds that have so easily taken over. We have all seen examples of fields that have been left fallow, and those fields that grow up and are grown over, it happens so quickly, and that neglect, well, you see the evidence of it so clearly. This is an instruction to the heart of Israel in their day. And indeed, it was very illustrative of what they were actually going through. And if you look at the following verse 13, it comes clearly that ye have plowed wickedness and ye have reaped iniquity. And so the Lord is reinforcing to them the basic principle, the law of the harvest, if you like, that we are reminded of in Galatians chapter 6, that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The Lord is saying to them, you need to sow in righteousness, but as a matter of fact, you haven't done that. You have sown in wickedness, iniquity. And because of you sowing in sin, you are going to reap the consequences of that. And so, it applies to us, not just to them. For we are told, as we thought this morning around the Lord's table, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so the word is to all of our hearts, not to be looking to someone else and say, well, this applies to them. This is a great verse for that person. That's not the way of the Lord here. It's the way of the Lord in the Scripture for us to be saying, as we read a verse like this, Lord, let me look into the mirror of the Word. Because as I look into the mirror of the Scripture, I will see what it says to myself and my own soul. And the Lord tells us to consider our ways, to think about what we are doing, to think about where we are going. It's very true that we all have experienced what it is to slide back from the Lord, to be known as backsliders, a term that has been coined to describe Christians who at one time went on very well with the Lord, but for any number of reasons, they may not be going on well with the Lord today. And I don't know, friend, your heart. It may be that this affects you in some way. Think carefully upon what the Lord is saying to us here, to consider our ways and realize that the field of our heart, has it been left unattended? Has it been left fallow? Has it been left so it's scorched by the world's heat and it's hard, almost like cement? And the Lord is saying to us, break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Let our souls be plowed by the Word of God. Coldness and apathy in spiritual matters and carelessness may have set in. And it doesn't mean it has to have set in into bringing the full harvest. You can see when weeds come up in a garden very, very quickly, left unattended. And so we ask ourselves the question, where are our own hearts before God tonight? Is it time to seek the Lord? We say to ourselves, there is no time to waste. There is no time that we can be idle. There is no time that we can afford to be apathetic. Now is the accepted time. And 12 months later from where we started, is it now not more pressing than ever it was? Sometimes we take this admonition and we believe we're putting it into practice and we plow and till part of our hearts. But there are other parts that we have designated no-go areas to the Spirit of God. And we're saying, Lord, I will give you so much, but I will not give you the rest. And of course, no one of us would ever say, yes, I admit I'm doing that. We would never go to someone and say, yes, I'm only going to give the Lord part of my heart, whatever percentage it might be, 50, 60, 70%, but 30% I'm keeping for myself and he can't have it. But in actual fact, we may well be guilty of doing that very thing. Because in the way in which we give partial surrender, we give the Lord part of our being in our heart. The problem is that as the years pass by, the weeds take deep root and they go down and they expand. And it seems that no matter what, the weed bed is encroaching farther and farther. And before you know it, my, the heart that was so much devoted to the Lord and a little bit to the ways that we should not be, it seems that that is turned. Sin brings, you know, with it a very fearful harvest in the life of a believer. And the Lord tells us that if we leave these things unattended, they will grow until we are overgrown. It's a good thing for us to take heed to these admonitions here. The Lord tells us that we are to break up the fallow ground of our heart. It is important for us to look in the mirror and to get before God and seek Him and pour our hearts out before Him. We ask deep and hard questions when we're alone with God, and we should. How much have I grown over this past year in grace? How much honestly have I sought the Lord? Have I esteemed the things of Christ of greater value, of greater intensity? Or have other things continued to push the Lord aside? These are good questions. The whole year is now behind us, and we can take some review. And the Lord says to each one of us, it's time to break up the hard ground and to turn over the soil and pull out the weeds. Sometimes, you know, these things come and we wonder, well, what does it really mean? What do these weeds look like? And how do I see them beginning to develop in my life? Well, we think about the weed of prayerlessness. And sometimes the seeking of the Lord in communion is easily pushed aside because of the busyness of the schedule and the many things we have to do. And after all, we have managed to survive a period of time without seeking the Lord with all our hearts in that sense. And it's not until we have passed by many days, weeks, maybe months, maybe years. It's not until we pass by those things that we only look back and see the great devastation, the great overgrowth of these weeds and of our prayerlessness in our life. Well, there is a toll to be taken. Linking up with that, of course, is a neglect of the Scripture, the manual that the God has given to us for our life. The food for our soul. I am so happy to see you here tonight in the evening service. And it's a blessing as you come to the morning and evening meetings. And then you're under the sound of God's Word, the reading of the Scripture, the united praise to the Lord. These are very positive and blessed things. But I suggest to you that if this is the extent of your Christian walk with the Lord, it's not enough. You cannot just expect that you will really dig deep and go down with the Lord and experience more of Him if all you are receiving is what you get here coming on the Lord's day. The Lord has told us there is much more that we will receive from Him. And He is admonishing us here, think carefully, my children, break up that fallow ground. Deal with those issues that confront you day by day. The neglect of the means of grace, things that God has provided for our growth, our benefit, our blessing. Not only are there sins of omission the Lord tells us about, but there are sins that we are actively engaged in that, well, sometimes you might deny that they are actually sins, but the old sins of the flesh, the pride of heart and jealousy and gossip and criticism and bitterness, all these things that can take hold in every single one of us. There's no one that's immune from this. And as we deal with these matters and look at them, and we come back to the Scripture, because very clearly the Word of God states whether these things are good or bad, whether they're right or wrong. And the Lord says, right in conjunction with the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, you have the works of the flesh. And so the Lord admonishes us to think about these things carefully and break up the fallow ground. If we as a body of believers are going to advance, and if God's presence and power is going to be enlarged in us and working through us, then there must be this deeper heart work. The fallow ground of our lives must be broken up, for it's time, he says, to seek the Lord. But notice, secondly, it is time to seek the Lord specifically in righteousness, he says. Seeking the Lord in righteousness. Why is this? Because, my dear friend, we must have God's presence with us. And we dare not progress or try to advance without the Savior going before us. Moses knew what this was, for he said, Lord, if you are not going to go with me, do not send me out. Do not press me forward if your presence is not going with me. And though Moses was not able to enter into the promised land and Joshua took over from him, the very first things that God said to Joshua was simply this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In other words, my presence with you is essential for your success. How dare you think to advance in your Christian walk without acknowledging and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things being added unto you. We must have the Savior with us, for we dare not walk alone. And the Lord Jesus has made that promise, my presence shall go with you. And the early disciples were told to abide in Jerusalem until they be endued with the power of God. And so as they returned and they gathered and met for prayer, they were conscious of this one thing. We must have the power of God on us. We must seek the Lord in righteousness. We must follow the pattern that He has given to us in His Word, because if God does not go before us, then we are going to be in deep trouble. We will lose our way. If our eyesight is not fastened upon the Lord, if the Savior is not prominent before us, spiritually speaking, then we are going to go astray. Yes, we must have God's presence. It is time to seek the Lord in righteousness. But perhaps we have to say, it is time to seek the Lord because, my dear friends, we are many steps nearer to death than we were on January the 3rd of 2016. How many days? Almost 365. We're coming well now into the 12th month. Another year has taken its toll upon us. We do not know how much time we have left. It is time to seek the Lord because our time is going by quickly. And as the year has been put now behind us almost, and we are thinking about the number of years that you go back in your life, my dear mother is 92 years old today. As the years of her life have gone past her, she could look back and say, in the youthful days of 16 and 17 years old, when time seemed to stand still, and in those teenage years, it just seemed that it would never pass. And then you move on past the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. And now, those of us who are creeping near the end of the 50s, our time is slipping by. The Lord said, it is time to seek the Lord. And of course, the import of this verse is not to say, oh, all of a sudden the light switches on and now I will begin to call upon the Lord. No, the intensity of this verse is not that you have not been calling on the Lord, but it is now most certainly to intensify and to seek Him with more earnestness, more continuity, to continuously call on Him. And did Jesus not say, men ought always to pray and not to faint? The Lord is continually admonishing us to seek Him. And why does He do that? Because the Lord knows that if we do not, our time will be wasted. And the years will go in and they will go by. and our service for the Lord is in danger of being wasted. And therefore, there's good admonition for us to think about and to come again to say, Lord, by thy grace, I rededicate my life to your service. I give myself afresh. And yes, the true spirit of that would be to get up every single morning from our beds, and as the light of a new day springs upon us, to say, Lord, I devote my life today afresh to you. I want to seek you, for it's time to seek the Lord now, not sometime in the future. Procrastination on this matter is a death knell to the Christian experience. The devil only wants you to think and say, yes, yes, you'll seek the Lord in time. Don't get too anxious about that. There's time for that down the road. But now you're busy. Many things to do. Family, life, education, all kinds of things. Don't get over-religious about these matters. Just relax. Take it easy. That's not what the Lord says. He says to us, your time is going by. And we must gather up the fragments of time that he has given us, because they are precious. But there is another reason why we are to sow in righteousness and seeking the Lord, is because this generation is in desperate need. By God's providence, we have been born into this time frame. And none of us asked to be born here, and none of us had any control over when and where we were going to be born at any rate. But the fact is, if you trust a sovereign God, you know that he has purpose that you and myself would be born into this generation. And it's no mistake, by the way, that you are here in this fellowship, and that you have determined and decided to be a part of the ministry. And you're saying, the Lord has so ordered my days, my life. And therefore, upon that, we are confronted with the great need of the hour. We're confronted with the need of those who are around us. And we dare not just fritter away the time and become lazy. If you read the back of your bulletin today, there was a word by Dr. Lloyd Jones, and it was a good word, and I admonish you to read it, not now, but later, to read it and see that the emphasis was upon being busy supporting the work of God one with another. Because too many people may be drones occupying pews and yet not actively engaged. Well, I thank God for the many who are here in this fellowship, and that does not apply, because you are actively engaged and you're doing what you can do. And if you're a bit on the elder side and you're wondering, well, what can I do? My life, I have no much more energy. What can I do? My dear friend, you can continue in the most vital thing that you could have ever done, and that is seeking the Lord in prayer and praying for the ministries in detail and praying for the individual believers in detail. Take your directory and pray over it. And pray that God would let you be brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, and that you might see and know the bigger picture, and not to become, quite frankly, so self-centered that you're not other-centered. That's a big issue that we all have to face. We must seek the Lord with all our hearts, believer, because loved ones, sinners, are only a heartbeat from hell. Every family to be touched in this church tonight, we all have unsaved loved ones. And yet it's a sad reality that so often the unsaved loved ones, those who are near us in relation, may be the farthest from us in our prayers. That's not a good thing. May the Lord give us grace and put the burden upon our soul to realize that we must seek Him. And it's time to seek the Lord for those who are near and dear to us in a physical sense, that they will come to taste and see the Lord is good in salvation. And when we think about that, we add our prayers. And could I admonish and ask you to join in prayer with others in this fellowship now that are asking God specifically to bring in the ungodly into this church, to hear the word of Christ, and to come to know the Lord Jesus, that they might be also built up and edified and discipled to grow and advance and be themselves a benefit and a blessing. Sinners are only a heartbeat away from hell. David, King David said, "There is but a step between me and death." And that being the case for all of us, let us take heed and pray more earnestly that God will move in the hearts of those who are still outside of Christ. Ah, but my dear friend, it is worthwhile to seek Him in righteousness and truth with all our hearts, because the Savior is worthy of all that we can give to Him. He is worthy. Finally, and I close with this, it's time to seek the Lord for the promised reward that He has given us. He says this rather strange phrase in verse number 12 at the very end, "Till He come and rain righteousness upon you." A storm of righteousness. You don't often think of it that way, but the opening of the heavens and the moisture from God to be poured out, and that raining down of righteousness, that pouring out of the Lord's presence among His people, this is really what this is talking about. Because, of course, wherever there is a righteous rain and presence, that's where the Savior is. Whenever He has promised to open the windows of heaven and pour out that blessing upon you, it's the blessing of the Lord Jesus. God is faithful, and He will do what He says He will do. And so when He talks here about raining down the righteousness, it will be for all of us a greater awareness of God's holy presence in our lives. Would you pray that prayer? Lord, may I experience in my life a greater awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, of the Savior walking with me, of His holy and righteous reign in my life, and the righteous raining down of that presence upon me. The evidence of God's holy influence in our thinking, in how we respond and react. Right thinking leads to right living, and how we need to know God's abiding nearness and the Holy Spirit helping us. If we seek Him with all our hearts and minds and put Him first, surrendering our wills to His, our minds to His mind. Remember that Jeremiah also said, and the Lord reported through him, that your thoughts are not my thoughts, He said to Jeremiah and to all of Israel. Neither are your ways my ways. For my thoughts, God says, are so far above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. And when we read that, we say, well, yes, I understand that. So therefore, what do we pray in light of this? We say, Lord, may Your thoughts become my thoughts. May I understand and submit myself to Your ways in my everyday life, in everything I do, in everything I say, in every place that I go. The Lord is no respecter of persons, certainly in this case either. And therefore, what He says He will do, and we need to be bold to pray and believe in this challenge that the Lord has given to us by His own holy word, because His promise is right and true, and He is faithful who has promised, and we can take that with us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This battle will not be won in any other place, but alone with God, and in faith, abiding and walking close to Him. Are we prepared to take the Lord at His word, as we were admonished to do many months ago? It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to continue in our seeking of Him with all our hearts. all our minds, all our souls, and all our lives, because He will be found of us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, take this word tonight, I pray, Thy holy truth, and help us to turn it over in our hearts, to commit it to our memory, to pray it into our lives. And, O God, teach us to walk in the ways of righteousness and truth. I pray that we might experience more each day a growing love of the Savior, a growing submission to the Spirit of God working in us, so that we do not have to be beat with a big stick, but rather would be gently led and corrected when we go astray. Give us responsive hearts. Teach us in the way that we are to go, and bless this fellowship, Lord. Bring in the unsaved. Save precious sinners, we ask. Restore any who have grown cold in heart. We pray that there would be a renewing of our devotion. Lord, we are asking for a great awakening and a moving of Thy Spirit in revival blessing. We are not dissatisfied, Lord, in many ways. We're so thankful for all that You've done for us. The evidences of blessings are multiplied, and these things we do not at all despise. But Lord, we are seeking and praying and continuing to pursue after Thee with all our hearts. So bless us, we pray, and continue to watch over every individual, the youngest child here to the oldest member. Lord, bless each one. So part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.